When which one was it? I think it was a long time ago with Jezra. We tried to sync up our Audacity, and we both went 3, 2, 1, and hit record.
Yeah,
this is before we knew that there was that time shift tool in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, all right.
The time shift tool was definitely pretty handy.
Yeah, and then plus I found that the two recordings will drift. Like if you record for 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You can end up with like a half second lag, and you got to start putting space in one track or taking it out of the other.
Yeah, that can that'll build up a lot of editing time. Won't it?
I like editing. I think it's fun. Did you? I saw you did two already. Did
you? Yeah, I had like a few minutes there, and did oh, I did the first.
Why don't we just hang on? Why don't we just start? Ready? Hello, this is NY Bill.
This is J-Rob.
And we finally figured out how to get on Mumble at the same time. We've been trying this for like 3 weeks now.
Yeah, it's tough to sync up with everybody sometimes.
Yeah, our hours are a little different. If anybody hears sirens in this, this is about probably the 12th fire engine that's gone by. There's a house burning behind us.
Oh, wow.
Probably about a quarter mile away. I can just see a column of smoke. So you put up a picture of your Raspberry Pi, and you said it was a pump server. And I said, ooh, like, tell me more. And then we got talking, and we said, maybe we can do an HPR on it.
Yep.
And then I said, well, you're going to have to look into Mumble. And then, like, 2 hours later, you go, all right, I looked into Mumble. Works pretty good. I set up a server. And I go, all right, go get Audacity next and make sure we can work that. And then about 3 days later, you go, Audacity's working fine, and I just put up my first HPR. So you got right into it, huh?
Yeah, I like to get into stuff like that, just head first.
Nice. Yeah. And once you get the bug. Oh, boy, John Culp's put up, like, what?
A lot,
eight or ten of them in the last month. It got us through the summer lull.
Yeah, definitely. His are pretty good, too. I think I've got still a few of his in my queue where I'm catching up.
Mm. He just seems to be able to turn on the mic and go, well, he speaks for a living. He's a professor.
Yeah. I'm sure that helps a lot.
Yeah. So I messed around with Pump. Maybe we should say what Pump is for anybody that doesn't know.
Yeah, they may not know. I guess it's a federated social networking platform?
Yeah. Evan, who did Identica and StatusNet, this is his new thing.
Yeah, so the giant Identica server migrated over to Pump. Was that like a month ago, I guess?
Yeah, that seemed like it was a little bit of a rough switch, but it finally got over.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't know. I thought it was all broken, but I figured out how to log in. I finally logged in, but I don't see the same amount of conversation over there, or people have moved on, or they're all on Pump now.
It's kind of like a different group almost. It's some of the same people, and then a mix of other people that I guess were on StatusNet that I didn't talk to. Now it's a different group of people to interact with, I think.
Yeah, every time one of these switches comes along, or the G+ thing, or Diaspora, it just seems to scatter us.
Yeah.
And then slowly we regroup and end up somewhere.
Yeah, the old fragmented web.
Yeah, this is social, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anti-social web. So I messed around with setting up Pump, but I got up to the point where I needed a certificate. Mm-hmm. And I just stopped there. I never got a cert. I went into it thinking my domain provider is Gandhi, and I recall seeing free certificate. So when Pump came around and I needed a certificate, I went back to Gandhi and tried to click on that button to get a free certificate, and it was for the first year only. So, and then they wanted like $125 a year.
Yikes. Yeah, I think I did mine through Start SSL, which Jay Pope was recommended that, and then Evan, I think other people said that that's good because they have a free 1 year, And then I think you can renew it every year, and it continues to be free.
Okay.
I don't think it's...
But was that the one where I read the fine print that they can send your information on to third parties?
I imagine...
Or did you not read the
fine print? I didn't really read the fine print, but that does not surprise me.
Hang on, aren't you a tinfoil hat in the encrypted email club?
Yeah.
And you're not reading fine print?
I probably should, but also, I think Namecheap.com also has some $10 ones that are like GeoTrust and a little more trusted.
And then I know some people can roll their own.
Yeah.
I get to some of those web pages where you had to add the exception and stuff.
Yeah, so I think there's a caveat there where Evan has recommended people not do that with PumpBio.
Oh.
I think at this point it's causing some problems in some places.
Oh, maybe as the messages go out, they're hitting like untrusted or semi-trusted sites, slowing everything down.
Yeah, I think with the server, the software recognizing a valid cert is kind of difficult, maybe. So it'll reject some of the self-signed certificates.
I see.
Or that's my understanding. Of not really understanding how that works.
Oh, all right. I thought I just lost Audacity. No, I'm still here.
No.
So you got Pump running on a little Pi, huh?
Yep, I've got it on my Pi now. I had it on my VPS to start with, and it crashed and died, kind of like it may have done this morning.
Oh.
Again. And so then I had an extra Pi that I was letting my kids use. As a computer, and they would log in and kind of do the Tux Paint and that kind of thing. And then I decided I kind of wanted my Pi back, so I gave them an old computer that I had, and I took the Pi and figured it'd make a good pump. I think Sazius had set one up on his, and John Culp tried, I believe. I don't know if he ever got his working.
They're fast enough, though, to handle all that traffic?
Yeah, so far I've only had a handful of problems. It doesn't seem to be a much of a processor speed hang-up or anything. My load stays pretty low, and the JavaScript is pretty efficient, it seems.
We can cut these out.
All right, I'm back.
That was quick. You can do a how to change diapers efficiently.
That might be a good one.
Oh, now I forget where we were.
Yeah, I kind of do too. You were asking about the speed of the thing, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be impacted. I kind of worry about my upstream. You know, at home it's not a lot fast or whatever, but it doesn't seem to be a big impact. I did have problems with StatusNet when I ran a node on a BeagleBone, and that seemed really slow, whereas PumpIO doesn't feel as slow, like logging in and things like that.
All right. And how do you, like one of the roadblocks I had setting up Pump on my VPS was it doesn't like to be, or it can't be pushed through Apache. Did you read up on that stuff? So I was, what did I set up, Nginx or something? This was quite a while ago. Oh, and then I needed another IP, another IP address, like a dedicated IP.
And Linode
wanted me to submit a ticket in order in. You know, tell my reason for wanting two IPs. I got 90% there, and then I don't know. I stopped. So how are you getting traffic to the Pi?
Yeah, so that's a challenge too. It needs to bind to port 80 and 443, or I guess or 443 for SSL. But I am currently not doing a proxy. If you want to be able to use those ports for anything else, it needs to be proxied. Like you're talking about. So I'm just using it just straight. My router forwards all 80 and 443 directly to the Pi, and it's just running the pump.
Oh, okay. That's how I used to do my server when it was on a laptop here, yeah.
Yeah, so that's how I got around that. But now I'm looking at changing things up. I just got a BeagleBone Black, and I want to kind of set up a few more things, like a mail server and probably move my website and things onto... these two guys.
Nice.
The Pi and the BeagleBone.
You had all this up on a VPS, but wasn't that the one that, like, the whole VPS crashed or something happened?
Yeah, it was, they had some, black hat stuff going on, people cracked in there and just wiped the whole node, or several of the nodes, and I'm not sure how many VPSs are on each node, but I imagine they're overtaxing their servers since it's only like $4 a month.
Yeah, I think somebody came into the lug, like, this was a couple weeks after you had mentioned all this going down, and he told almost the exact same story. I go, you got to be on the same hosting as my buddy.
Yeah, so you don't. It's wild. And it really sucked, but you know, it was down for I think a month, and then it was back up, and then this morning it crashed.
Did they ever release info as like details of what happened?
Yeah, they did. They said it was some exploit by the Solus VM panel. It had a known weakness that had been patched a few weeks prior, but they didn't apply the patch, so they were exploited.
Oh, that quick. Yeah, about that same time, Linode had trouble, too. I never got the full story on that, but...
There was another one called RAM VPS or something like that, and they had the same kind of deal where they got in and wiped all the nodes.
Use black hats?
Yeah, I mean, why? What's the point?
What's wrong with a gray hat?
Yeah, yeah. I had it on my VPS, and like I said, it got wiped, and
so now
it was dead.
Bringing everything back in-house.
Yes, now back in-house, it's kind of a, you know, I get control of my own data, which is good, and I don't have to worry about, you know, somebody peeking in on it and all those kind of things.
So you think.
Yes, so I think.
I've got your IP address. I've been... So what distro did you run for the RPi?
I'm running Raspbian.
Okay.
And I bought it from Adafruit, I think. They have their SD cards that come with it. You just slap it in there and expand the SD card, boot it up, it's good to go.
Nice.
So the Pump.io will support a couple of different database types. MongoDB, Redis, disk, memory, maybe another one in there somewhere. But MongoDB doesn't have a binary for the Pi, so couldn't use that. I wasn't about to spend the next century compiling.
That's an ARM board, so. Yep.
Yeah, it's really not fast. But Redis is there's a version, and luckily there's already a Node.js binary, so snatch both of those, and that's how I've got it set up using the Redis database.
Yeah, when I was setting mine up, I set up StatusNet, and that needed my SQL. And then I did Media Goblin, and that wanted MongoDB. And then I was doing Pump, and I think I remember Redis. And I'm like, do I really need three databases running on the server, or could they have all shared?
Yeah.
I'm not a database guy, so it's like a black box of mystery to me.
Yeah, I hate databases. I really don't like them.
I seem to be able to crash them very easily.
Yeah, they're necessary for some things, but they get a little out of hand. I think MySQL is just big and bloated, and I really don't want to use it. One another thing on my VPS, the MySQL RAM usage would continually ramp up over 3 gigabytes, and my VPS is spec'd at 3 gig, but it's not a dedicated 3 gig. This is a $4 VPS, so whenever I would hit that limit, it would just shut it down and reboot automatically.
Oh no. I think this might be you get what you pay for.
Yeah, exactly. That is definitely true. So I just don't run MySQL anymore. Since I'm not doing that, I couldn't set up StatusNet, so I joined the Quitter gigantic instance over there.
Yeah, a lot of people got on Quitter and Fragdev. Windigo's Fragdev. Yeah. He's probably got 30 or 40 people on there.
Yeah, it's really grown up a lot, which is great. That's awesome.
It is cool, but at the same time, I know that he always says, this can crash at any time. So he must be this must be on the edge of his seat for him now. He's got 40 people depending on him.
Yeah, that's a little responsibility there, I guess. But as long as they're aware that it could crash at any time, it should be okay. I'm always kind of prepared for anything to crash at any time, given my experience.
Yeah, that's me too. I'm just bumbling along with this all this online stuff. I never really had a online presence or a VPS, it's me just fooling around. Basically, I'm enjoying it, but doesn't guarantee it's going to stay up.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, I just put up an HPR yesterday or day before, and if you listen to it, you'll hear about some troubles I recently had.
I'll keep my G-Potter thing open, syncing up.
Yeah. So, did you follow any Did you follow any tutorials, or do you have any like good resources if somebody's looking into pump?
I think the best one is Jay Pope's. His blog has a few entries in there which are pretty good to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And he also really goes into detail on the proxy setup. I think using Nginx,
mm-hmm.
or Nginx, or however you want to say that. I think he's got his config files posted on his blog, and a lot of detail as to how to set all the different parameters up. And on my blog that is currently down because my VPS crashed this morning. I also had a post where I...
Here we are telling everybody how to set up pump or get into pump, and both of our stuff's crashing lately. But go ahead.
Yeah. So I went through everything that I went through to set it all up from ground zero on the Pi. And instead of skipping the proxying, which I think I probably will try. As long as I won't break it, I would like to do that and set up a proxy and get it working that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I could update that. I've gotten kind of mixed opinions on whether it'll break the existing setup or not. So that'll be fun.
Could be the next blog entry.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we'll have to put these in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll have to do that. One thing that is, I guess, important to point out, Patrick Haverkamp, I think it is,
mm-hmm.
He's running Redis as well, and he's had problems where he's hitting a memory limit.
Oh.
Redis seems to kind of continually increase memory usage. Not very quickly, on my instance anyway. I think I'm using around 170 meg of memory.
Okay.
But it does continually increase, so I think I've got 60 meg free on the Pi right now. So it could be a problem at some point.
Was this the 512 Pi or the 256?
Yeah, I've got the 512. Yeah. On the 512.
I have my Pi, and I just... can't think of a use for it. And it kind of sits in my bag, and I bring it to the log and stuff.
And oh, yeah. It's a cool little board. I've got RaspBMC running as a XBMC server, and it's pretty slick.
I put the I did the Arch distribution for it, so I got somewhere around here is an SD card with that still on there. One of these days I'll find a project and make that thing do something.
Yeah, I've got an LCD panel of mine that I built from the Adafruit kit, and you know, I kind of set it up and played with it a little bit, and then I've been kind of trying to think of something I can do with that.
Yeah, when you put up that picture, I was like, ooh, he's using his RPi. I saw the LCD on it, and you actually have it doing something, so that's cool.
Yeah, kind of doing something. I played with it, but I might get it to display some pump IO error logs or start flashing red or something when it's down. I don't know.
When somebody says your name, have it pop up the message.
Hey, that'd be kind of cool.
So how are you finding pump in general?
I like it. I mean, there's some drawbacks, obviously, but in general, I think it's an improved platform. And
I'm finding it a bit difficult. Like, it seems like the conversation's gone over there.
Conversation is the weak point.
Okay.
it's really hard to keep up with. There's a lot of work, and I don't know. I think Evan is working on that or may come up with something. But right now, you only get mentions or notifications for if someone replies on your post.
Yeah, okay.
Or if you're directly mentioned, I guess, in the to or CC thing.
Because like StatusNet and Identica, I think a bunch of us just basically use it like IRC.
Yeah.
So it was a little difficult over on pump when, you know, I say something in the morning, go to work, come back at lunch, and then I'm scrolling to see if anybody replied to it.
Yeah. So if I reply on your notice and then you reply back to me in the same thread there,
yeah.
I wouldn't be notified.
Yeah.
That's a problem, I think.
And then the threading of a conversation, like if it was five or six notices long and I want to answer somebody up on three, like, and it's going to take it off in like a little different direction, you still have to reply to the whole entire thread, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I think on the web interface, you can reply directly to a comment.
Okay.
So it does kind of get threaded, but then threading may or may not actually be supported. Because if you do comment on a comment, it just kind of goes, I think it's called the lost to the sands of time bug.
Oh.
At that point, it doesn't get displayed in the web interface at all.
Oh.
I do think whoever created the comment that you posted or replied to does get a notification, but no one else can see it on the web interface. It doesn't get pulled in.
I just didn't know if the web interface was personally unintuitive for me, or if I was just missing it, or...
I think it's kind of unintuitive for everyone.
Okay, so, all right, it's not just...
I really don't like the web interface. It's kind of bad.
I did hear Evan say, like, I hope someone comes along and makes a better web interface. I think he's, like, focused right on the back end. It's my opinion of what, from what he said.
Yeah, I think he also, he said that in the, was that TINAP?
Yes,
TINAP. Yeah, so that would be cool if somebody else came along and made another web interface that doesn't have JavaScript or is different or better.
Yeah, and there's some clients are starting to pop up, Puma and Pumpa.
Yeah, and there's Dianara and Impeller.
Oh, I've heard of Dianara, but I never looked at it. I never heard of Impeller, so.
Yeah, Impeller is another Android client.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll check that out then.
So they're all pretty good. They're kind of, you know, they're really new, so they're lacking some features, I think. But I'll kind of bounce back and forth on my desktop between Pumpa and Dianara.
Well, I think it's safe to say this is all pretty new.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
How long has Pump really been around? 4 months?
Yeah, something like that.
And then Identica switched over maybe about a month ago, so.
Yeah, and that brought, I think, 20,000 some users into it that most of them, I think, couldn't log in from the start.
Yeah, that was another thing that Evan mentioned in TINAP. He had the hashes, but he had no way to put the passwords into the new database, so everybody had to set up a new password.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well.
I don't remember if I was able to log into my... I think I did log into my old Identica account.
I did finally get in, but I had to do that request a new password, and then you get an email and go to a special page and put in a new password.
Yeah, I think there were some problems where people didn't have a valid email address or something, too. And,
oh, yeah, that could be.
And they were just kind of locked out until they... There were a lot of messages on GitHub, people saying they couldn't get a password. I guess Evan handled those on a one-on-one type basis.
Oh. Yeah, that one-on-one was quite a lot of work. In the dying days of, not the dying days, but before the transition in Identica, just people went, I want all my notices and I want all this. And it's like, the man is busy.
Yeah, I can't imagine. That's a lot of work to be working on, you know, the new interface and Pump.io and everything, and also trying to get everybody their data and keep everybody happy.
Yeah,
and
yeah. I mean, it's
keep everybody from panicking.
He gave like a 6-month warning and a 4-month warning and a 1-month warning, and still it kind of seemed to surprise a bunch of people.
Yeah, it still caught everyone by surprise. I think the migration itself took 4 or 5 weeks. And it was only supposed to take a few days or something like that.
Yeah, it was quite a while. Wow, are you having a wrestling match downstairs?
Oh man, yeah, I was wondering if that was coming through. My kids are back there in the back of the house, and I guess playing or yelling or something,
or stabbing each other. Shouldn't you be babysitting?
nobody's crying or bleeding yet, so I guess it's okay.
We got the car warmed up, 911 ready to go. But damn it, I'm going to get this HPR out.
Dedication. Yeah. That's what it is.
All right, so cool. Someone found a use for their Pi. That's awesome.
And it's pumping away for sure.
Oh, you mentioned you were... Oh, or you did get a BeagleBone.
Yeah, I've got the... Yeah,
I thought you said you were going to order something. This was a recent dent that you were going to order something new.
Yeah, so maybe I should mention that just real quick. I did get a BeagleBone, and I'm going to try to use that to limit the Redis risk, I guess, with the database RAM usage.
Okay.
So I'd like to split my Redis server over onto the BeagleBone, keep running the pump on the Pi, and that way kind of federate my federation to split up the resources a little bit.
I just pictured you just got like a little tiny rack server of our Pis and BeagleBones with all the lights on. That's cool.
Yeah, I'd like to build a little rack or something for you.
Take a picture. I'll have to see a picture of that. A Lego rack.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
So, any contact details or?
Well, my website when it's up is jrob.org, and it's currently down. But I guess I'm on quitter.se is jrob with two B's, and
of course pump.
And, of course, pump, which is jrob at pi.jrob.org, which luckily I changed my DNS over a few weeks ago from my shady server where I won't mention the name. So now I've got independent DNS and my pump will still work.
Okay, nice. So I'm nybill at gunmonkeydet.net, and statusnet is sn.gunmonkeydet.net. And I am on pump, but I'm checking it less frequently. I'm hoping I'm going to check in and all the bugs are going to be shaken out and there's going to be comment buttons and stuff. So I'm going to keep on checking in.
Yeah, I imagine it'll get better over time.
Yep.
Hopefully.
Okay, cool. We finally got one recorded.
Finally, yeah, we got together here.
All right. I'll talk to you later, man.
All right. See you later.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.